Hi guys, welcome back to Food for Thought. I'm your host, Lorraine Horan, and today I have with me a special guest, my friend Brittany. Brittany works at Planned Parenthood. Do you want to introduce yourself?
Hi, I am Brittany Wise. I'm a medical assistant at Planned Parenthood. I work at the Grand Rapids Clinic. It's nice to be here. Thanks for having
Yeah,
me.
of course. Thanks for being here. So we actually met because she did an exam on me a few months ago and I gave her a sticker. I was like, yo, I got a podcast. Let's chat. So
Yes, yeah.
yeah, thank you for taking the time to be here. I do
Absolutely.
appreciate it.
No problem.
So we just wanted to throw in this disclaimer that even though Brittany does work for Planned Parenthood, the views that she's expressing here are entirely her own. So,
Absolutely, yeah.
all right, awesome. So I want to preface today's episode by letting you guys know that we'll be talking about some pretty sensitive subjects as far as like birth control, pregnancy, abortion, things like that. So if you're not comfortable with those kinds of subjects, then I would suggest logging off of this episode. But if you're good with that, well, then we'll continue. So I figured we would start with talking about birth control, all the basics of birth control. There are so many different
Yeah,
kinds.
there's a ton.
And I think that it's really important that we talk about like the effectiveness of these things and how they should be used. I think sometimes people still don't know, so
Absolutely. I
yeah.
think there's so much misinformation about like how the methods work, and I get asked a lot, will this impact me being able to have kids later on? A lot of folks still think that if you're on birth control for too long, it's going to make it hard for you to get pregnant. And that's just not true.
No, okay.
No. So there's a
Awesome.
fun little boom, myth busted.
So, personally, I have been on a lot of different kinds of birth control. I have tried the shot. That was the first kind I ever did. I did not like that. Did not like
Yeah, that
that.
one can
So,
be kind of tough for people.
got off of that, and then I had the patch for a while. I liked that. That was a good one for me. Back when I was like 18,
Yeah.
19. And then I had the ring. I liked the patch more. And
Okay.
then they came back with the patch, and then it wasn't as adhesive
I've
as
heard
they
that.
used to be.
Yes.
You know,
Yeah.
like literally that thing
Like it'll
used
like
to
fall off your
stick on
skin
me.
now.
It did. I remember I was like, this thing used to stay on me, you know,
Yeah.
with no problem. And it did. It would fall right off. So then I got an IUD, and
What kind of IUD did you
I
get?
got the Skyla.
Perfect. Yeah.
So it was obviously effective as far as preventing birth, you know, definitely worked.
Yeah.
But the thing is like my partner was really well endowed, and
Good for
anytime
you, babe.
thank you. I've honestly been blessed with a lot of big dicks in my life. But my partner, he was really well endowed, and it like literally every time we had sex, it's like I could feel it like shifting and moving, and it was so uncomfortable. Like it just like it wasn't quite cramps, but it was just like a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
It's like you could just feel it moving, and you're like, no,
You're like,
like
this isn't fun
this isn't
anymore.
it.
This makes me
Yeah.
nervous.
And
Yeah.
so honestly, I was so much happier when I got it out. Like obviously I was grateful as far as like, yeah, it worked, you know, for 3 years. I didn't have to worry about pregnancy, but my
Or did you have periods while you had your Skyla?
I did, but they weren't too bad.
Yeah.
But at the same, but it's like my sex life took such a dive,
Sure.
you know what I mean? So that really sucked about that. And then since then I've been on the pill, and
How are you liking it?
that's what I'm happiest on. That's
Excellent.
what works best for me. And I always
Perfect.
thought, I was like, I'm never gonna remember to take something every
Yep.
day. And maybe back then that was true, but you
You're in a
know,
different part in your life
yeah.
now. Yeah.
No, I like birth control. I don't feel like it makes me gain weight. I feel like my skin is super
Yes, you're probably
clear.
on something with estrogen in it.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
So we love that.
We love it. Yeah.
So let's talk about some other ones, like the arm implant.
Yes,
So that
that.
lasts up to 5 years.
Yes, ma'am. That is the Nexplanon implant. It goes in your arm underneath your skin, and it just kind of sits there for 5 years. It's more than
Interesting.
99% effective. It's the most effective form of birth control. It's more effective than
Really?
IUDs. Absolutely.
Really?
You can still get pregnant. I mean, obviously, like nothing's 100% right?
Yeah.
But
Those
you're
three get
less
one in a
likely,
million.
yeah, you're like less likely to get pregnant on that than you would be on an IUD. The common side effects for that one are going to be things like weight gain sometimes. I have a lot of girls come back and complain about that, but not as many as are using the shot. The shot seems to be one that people gain a ton of weight on, and they hate it. You're also more likely to get weird, irregular bleeding with that one because there's no estrogen in it. Yes. So the combination hormonal pills, the patch, the ring, those are all things that you talked about where they're going to be good for your skin because they've got estrogen in them. You're going to be more likely to be able to control your periods. You can skip your periods if you want to.
Mm-hmm.
You have that predictability there. With methods that only have progestin, you're more likely to get stuff like breakthrough bleeding and irregular periods and that kind of stuff. So yeah, like progestin only pills, the shot, the implant.
Just a disclaimer, you guys, I have to say, I'm so sorry if you hear my dogs. They have, like, I've walked them, I've played with them, and they are just really upset that they are not getting my attention right now. And so they're just being obnoxious. So they'll chill out soon enough. But if you hear a bunch of like racket in the background, I sincerely apologize, but they are just really acting up today. So, okay. I apologize.
No, you're good. So things like progestin only pills, the shot, the implant, and the hormonal IUDs, you're going to have weird irregular bleeding. And depending on the method, that's going to impact how long that weird irregular bleeding is likely to be at first, I guess. But even after that adjustment period, you're still probably, I mean, you're likely to still have weird irregular bleeding in between.
Okay.
For a lot of folks, that's a big, it's a big no-go.
So yeah.
If you're looking for something to keep your periods regular, that's probably not going to be it.
Okay, good to know.
Mm-hmm. There's also the non-hormonal IUD.
Oh, yeah, the non-hormonal. Yeah, yes. So, yeah, let's talk about that.
Yeah. So, for a lot of folks, they don't want extra hormones in their body. I think there's a lot of reasons for that, and we can unpack that. Whatever you decide is fine.
Mm-hmm.
I think folks come in and they ask, I feel like quite often, what birth control would you recommend? What birth control do you think I should use? It's like, whatever you feel like is going to be best for you. And you might have to try a couple methods before you find something that's right for you.
Yep.
Like, I mean, like you said, I was on the pill for a really, really, really long time, and I hated it. I didn't know that I wasn't supposed to feel like shit all the time. And the longer I was taking it, the longer I was on it, the worse I got about taking it.
Yeah, I think that's something really important to remember is that, like, going to your girlfriends for advice and, like, how did this work for you and stuff, like, you know, it's valuable and, like, their insight is valuable. Don't get me wrong. But, like, just because it worked for you and your friend and you guys have the same skin type and you're both Virgos with Gemini rising, like, that doesn't mean that the fucking – that doesn't mean that the same medications are going to work
Everybody's
for you guys.
Body's a little
so,
bit different.
Yeah, so don't be discouraged. Like, just because something works for somebody doesn't mean it's, like, something might work differently for you. And that's true with any kind of –
anything,
like,
really.
Like, true with anything.
Every
single
thing.
Literally anything in life, but especially medicine.
And it's also important to, like, while we're talking about medicine, it's important to talk to people in your life who are medical health professionals. So, like, yeah, I'm a medical assistant, but I don't have any kind of, like, certifications or registrations or, like, my training is all on the job.
Mm-hmm.
So it's important to talk to your doctor, your NP, whatever level of healthcare provider you have that's got a license, that's going to be who you're going to want to make healthcare decisions with.
Right. So there are, what are like the different kinds of IUDs that are out there right now?
So they kind of fall into two categories. So there's hormonal and non-hormonal. Hormonal IUDs are going to be things like the Skyla, the Kylena, the Lyletta, and the Mirena. And then the non-hormonal IUD is made of copper, and that's the Paragard. And each of the hormonal IUDs is just a teeny tiny bit different. The one copper IUD that's in the U.S. is pretty much standard. Like, there's one company that makes it, and that's the only one that's approved in the U.S.
Oh, interesting.
So, fun fact, yeah.
Okay, and if I remember correctly, there are different sizes based on whether or not you've had children before?
So, a lot of people think it's based on whether or not you've had kids.
Okay.
That can make a difference, but not necessarily.
Okay.
So, I... initially, after I got off the pill, I started with a Skyla.
Uh-huh.
I was like, I need something small because I've never had kids before.
Yeah.
And but I want to not have to worry about taking a pill every day.
Yeah.
I've got the Paragard now, and I've still never had kids.
Is that the one in your arm?
That's the copper IUD.
Oh, okay.
And that one's a big bitch. She looks huge. If you like, the Skyla is, I don't know, probably about yay big. None of you folks at home can see this, but you got to trust me on this. Skyla is the smallest. The Kylina is in between. Then the Mirena and the Lilette are the exact same. And those ones are just a teeny tiny bit bigger. And the Paragard is bigger than that.
So actually, when you were saying those, I think that I actually had the Kylina and not the Skyla.
Okay.
So, yeah. So I think that mine was just a little bit bigger. I got mine in 2015. I don't think Skyla had come out just yet then.
Maybe. I'm not sure.
I don't remember.
I don't know. Skyla's good for 3 years. Kylina's 5.
Okay.
So if they told you it was good for 3, it might have been a Skyla.
I think. So I think that what they told me is that it is good. It was good for 3. And then later I came back and they were like, it's actually good for 5.
It's good for 5.
So, but I still got it taken out after 3 years. Because like I said, I was like, I'm over it.
The Lilette and Kylina, Lilette and Mirena are good for 7. And then the Paragard's good for 12.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That's really interesting.
Yeah.
So that's got a 99% rate of effectiveness then too. Okay.
Absolutely.
So going down from there, the next is the shot, and that's got a 94% effectiveness
rate. Right.
According to the Planned Parenthood website.
That sounds right to me.
So what are the pros and cons of the shot?
Pros are gonna be things like you can skip your periods. After a while, folks just stop getting periods altogether.
Right.
Which is, for a lot of girls, that's what they want in a birth control method. Like, we have patients who are on birth control just to skip their periods. And that's fine. Whatever reason you want to be on birth control.
I mean, I don't enjoy my period, but I love having, like, that surefire way of knowing I'm not having a baby.
When I absolutely respect that. When I got my Skyla put in, the first period that I skipped, I was like, oh my God, this is it. Oh my God, this is it. Oh my God, this is it.
Yeah.
And I had talked to some other girls and they were like,
shit's terrifying.
Hey, no, it's okay, baby. Don't worry. We got you. It's okay.
I got you.
It's okay. You don't have to worry about it. But yeah, some girls just need to have their period. That's fine. Whatever. Another myth to bust. It's not unhealthy for you to not get a period.
Okay.
A lot of people ask me that. If you're not trying for a pregnancy, there's not really a medical reason for you to need to have a period.
Interesting.
So that's pretty cool, I think.
That is really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good to know.
Mm-hmm.
So beyond that, it looks like the ring, the patch, and the pill are all coming in at an effectiveness rate of 91%.
Yeah. They're all made of the same hormones. So
okay.
That checks out.
Yeah. Like I said, I've been on all 3 of these. Honestly, like I would have considered sticking to the patch if that bitch still stuck to my
stuff. Yeah.
But at the same time, I do OnlyFans. So
good for you.
So it's like, it's kind of nice to not have to have like a patch somewhere that's visible, you know, because
So good for you, baby. That's awesome.
Thanks. Where are we going from here? So what do you think are the pros and cons?
Oh, pros and cons.
Yeah.
So IUDs, I mean, if you want to like pros and cons of each, IUDs are nice because they're long-term, they're long-acting reversible contraceptives. So quick, easy, set it and forget it. There's not really a way for you to fuck it up, which is what I really like about my IUD. They're also nice because you probably won't get periods after, like if you get a hormonal IUD. If that's something you're into, hell yeah.
Mm-hmm.
With the non-hormonal IUD, you're still going to get periods.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be heavier, crampier, and longer. But the trade-off there is that it's good for 12 years. And there's, you know, it's more than 99% effective.
True.
The implant, I mean, pros, I guess it's still a lark. It's still a long-acting reversible contraceptive. You might have a little bit of weight gain. It's not super common, but it can happen with progestin. It's not super common that they get lost in people's arms. I hear that a lot. It does happen sometimes.
Wow.
Of course, it does happen sometimes.
Ay-ay-ay.
But the odds of that happening are really, really low. So
right.
Like, please don't panic. It doesn't hurt. And yeah, it's another one you don't really have to do anything for it.
Okay.
A provider puts it in and you're done.
Mm-hmm.
The shot's nice because it's only every 3 months. There's very little for you to have to remember there, like in terms of maintenance. You probably, again, won't get periods, which is nice if that's something you're into. The pill, patch, and ring, more or less the same thing.
Like
if you're able to tolerate estrogen, if you're a person who, like, I don't want to say qualifies to get estrogen, but somebody who's like, you don't have migraines with vision changes, you don't have a history of high blood pressure, you're not over 35 and a smoker, right? Like, all of these things. They're all about the same in terms of pros and cons. the big differences are how you take them and like how much maintenance there is. So mm-hmm. the pill you have to take every day at the same time every day.
Mm-hmm.
The patch is nice because it's a once yeah. a week thing. The ring is nice because it's every 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And then they just invented a new ring.
Did they?
They sure did. It's called Anovera instead of NuvaRing.
Okay.
And it's good for a whole year.
Really?
I don't know.
And you can take it in and out?
Yep.
Because I was going to say, because I used to take mine out during sex.
Yeah.
You don't have to.
You don't have to, but you can.
But yeah, sure. I preferred to.
I hear that a lot. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, no, that's interesting. Mm-hmm. I hadn't heard about that. Yeah. Well, yeah, personally, like I did not dislike the ring at all.
Yeah.
It's just like I heard that the patch came back and I was like, fuck yeah, the patch. And so I got all excited about it and it was not as adhesive as it used to be. And so from there I was just like, you know what? I'm just gonna do the birth control pill.
Sure.
Good old fashioned birth control pill.
Yeah.
So from there, we've got things that are like things that you go and buy and you mm-hmm. use.
Yep.
So things like condoms, male condoms and female condoms. Mm-hmm. Some people don't know what a female condom is. Can you?
Yeah, I sure can. So it's more or less what it sounds like. So instead of having a condom that you slide onto a penis, it's kind of like...
So the difference between female and male condoms.
Yeah, so... Male condoms, I think, are what most people think about when you say condoms.
Mm-hmm.
That's obviously, you buy it, you slide it on a penis, you call it a day. Female condoms are a little bit different
mm-hmm.
because it's the same kind of idea, but instead of putting it on a penis, it goes inside of a vagina. So they're shaped kind of weird. They're shaped almost like a tube, but a little bit different.
Okay.
There's an inner ring and an outer ring. The inner ring is sort of like, I mean, you've used the ring before. It's more or less like that, but there's no hormones in it.
Okay.
You fold it up, bend it up, slide it into your vagina. And then the outer ring is bigger and that lays over the top of your genitals. So it's kind of like a dental dam too.
Oh, yeah. Okay. And do you want to explain then while we're here what a dental dam is?
Absolutely. All of my queer ladies will know what dental dams are. So if you don't, shout out to you because you're about to learn today. It's like a condom, but it lays flat over the top of the genitals and it's meant more for oral sex. So that you don't get mouth chlamydia. Yeah.
Hell yeah.
And if you don't have dental dams, if you can't find dental dams, buy a condom, mm-hmm. cut the tip off and then cut it down the side so it opens up and lays flat like a sheet. And that's the same fucking thing.
Yeah.
So boom.
Okay. Good
dental
deal.
Dam hack for you.
Okay. Well, fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Good to know. That's really good to know. So, the next thing I have on here, it's pronounced diaphragm.
Yes, ma'am.
That's also a part of your body.
Yes.
Right?
A little different.
Okay.
So you do have a diaphragm underneath your lungs, and that's the part that pushes and pulls on your lungs so that you can breathe.
Okay. I was going to say.
Yeah.
I was like, am I mistaken?
You're like,
have I been calling it the wrong thing?
I learned this in biology class, I think. There is also a diaphragm that is a form of birth control. It's non-hormonal. You do have to come in and see a clinician to get prescribed one because they don't just sell them over the counter, as far as I'm aware.
What is it?
It is sort of like, I think they look kind of like menstrual cups, but more shallow. So the idea is it's another barrier method. It's like a condom, but it fits on the inside of your body and more or less just covers up your cervix.
Oh, okay.
So that
sperm can't
get
up there.
In through your cervical os and up into your uterus.
Makes sense.
Yes, ma'am.
Got you.
Mm-hmm.
So beyond that, after that, I've got a sponge. I have never in my fucking life used a sponge.
I've never used a sponge. All I know about the sponge is that Seinfeld episode where Elaine is like, is he sponge worthy?
No way. And it's like actually relating to
yeah,
that. Oh,
yeah,
my God.
Yeah, it's hysterical. I've never met anybody who's used the sponge.
It must have been a very 90s thing.
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, my God.
But clearly they still make them if this is from the Planned Parenthood website.
Yeah.
I don't know where to get a sponge, though.
So
if you're into it, ask around, I guess.
So what is a sponge used for, then?
Contraception. So it, like, absorbs the sperm and
okay.
then it doesn't let
so
it pass
so I have been
further.
Seeing things. I have been seeing things recently.
No.
It's like a cleanup thing. Oh, my God, dude. It's been huge on the internet lately. I'm telling you. It's like you put it in
uh-huh.
after sex.
After?
Yeah.
Ooh.
And it absorbs everything.
I don't know. Different strokes
for different folks, I suppose. I'm going to Google what they are.
I feel like contraceptive sponges, and I could be completely wrong on this, I feel like they're supposed to go in before sex. I might be wrong, though. Please don't quote me on that. Anybody?
Okay, yeah. It's called... Awkward Essentials. It says meet Dripstick, a medical grade sponge made to absorb excess fluid in the vaginal canal after sex.
I hate that. That sounds like a great way to get a fucking yeast infection.
Oh my God. Okay. So like I said, I've never tried one of these. If you've been curious to try one, go for it. Let me know how it goes.
Yeah. I would be really curious to know.
And the next one on my list, I've also never used spermicide.
Spermicide. Yeah. That's the goopy stuff that's inside of condoms.
Okay.
It is what it sounds like. It's a goop. It's a gel that...
It reminds me of some kind of, like, you buy it at Home Depot, and it's got, like, the big jug with, like, the spray nozzle hose.
Spermicide. Yeah.
It's for your loins.
For your loins.
For your loins.
For your loins. Yeah, it kills sperm. That's
great. We love that.
We love it. If that's what you're hoping for, baby, we love it.
So then... So you can buy this stuff, like, individually, though?
I think so.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Good to know. And it's, like, a gel?
I want to say yes. It should be in the family planning aisle at your local store.
Good to know.
If it's not, ask a pharmacist.
So, next on my list, cervical cap.
It's kind of sort of the same thing as a diaphragm.
Okay. All right. Good. That's kind of what I was thinking, too. So this next method, it's called fertility awareness. I have some friends that do this too. I feel like my period's not regular enough for it to work for me.
Yeah.
It says that it's 76 to 88% effective.
That's a huge gap.
So,
in my opinion.
Yeah.
In my personal opinion. Yeah. I think that's a big gap.
Yeah. It's hard. I don't know what numbers and percentages mean. No. Like, it's hard to know what that means when... You know, like, oh, no.
Like, it could be this effective or it could be this effective.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Fertility awareness, I think, is tricky for a lot of folks. And if you're not completely 100% aware of your body, like, I feel like a lot of folks think that they know about their bodies. They're like, no, I'm very familiar with myself. That's not always the case. And it, you know, you get pregnant. You fuck up and you get pregnant, which is, I mean, what it is. My sister-in-law got pregnant 3 different times using the fertility awareness method.
Tried and true.
Tried and true. She was like, I don't want birth control, which is fine. 100% a valid choice. But she used the fertility awareness method instead and didn't know what the fuck she was doing and got pregnant. So that'll do it every time.
So the next one on here, withdrawal. Pulling out.
It's a method. People don't think it is. It's
78.
It's better than him. Coming in, you're trying to not get pregnant.
That's definitely true.
There is a big, I think, amount of trust there, and it needs to be communicated with your partner. You're like, I'm expecting you to pull out. And if they don't respect you enough to pull out when you ask them to pull out, then fuck them.
That's definitely a big thing. Like, if you're with somebody and you tell them to pull out and then they don't, like, you have to understand that they have, you know, that's no longer what you're consenting to.
Yeah, that's...
You defined the boundaries of what you're like, I'm consenting to sex under these terms.
These are the circumstances.
And they disrespected those terms. And so it's like, even if you're like, well, it was just a one-time thing. It's like, I think that you should seriously see that as a red flag.
Absolutely. That's kind of a form of sexual assault, just like pulling off condoms.
Not to say that sincere accidents don't happen.
Absolutely.
But... You know what I mean? Like, if you know that this dude was just like, I'm doing it anyway, that's not somebody you need in your fucking life. Mm-hmm. Kick that dude to
the curb. Who take off condoms when you're having sex.
Yes.
And you've consented to sex with condoms.
Yes.
That's a form of sexual assault, babe.
Precisely.
You gotta recognize it for what it is.
You know, it's like if people, you know, it's like using birth control can be part of your boundaries of having sex.
Absolutely.
So... You have every right to stick to those, even if you guys have done it before without a condom.
Doesn't matter.
Consent
is an every single time thing.
Yeah. So never be afraid to push that boundary. So the next one on my list I thought was really interesting. Breastfeeding.
Yeah.
And it has a 98%. Mm-hmm. What the fuck?
So your body
This blew my mind.
Yeah. It's important to note when you start getting your periods back and stuff while you're breastfeeding. Your body is so focused on making nourishment for this new infant that you've brought into the world. It's like, I can't do another baby right now. Are you fucking kidding me? Like, I'm physically not having periods because I'm breastfeeding. And that's why you can't get pregnant. So the minute you start getting your periods back, and even a little bit before you start to become a little more fertile, pay attention to what your body's doing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that, I guess that does make sense.
That was my exact reaction when someone told me that was a birth control method. I was like, wait a minute, what? Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that does make sense. Very interesting. Yeah. So the next ones that are on my list are, they're actually a little bit controversial. So it's tubal ligation and the vasectomy. So, which is, you know, the male and female sterilization processes.
Yeah.
So the thing is there is a lot of controversy, about like misogyny and sexism in the healthcare industry, because women will often request tubal ligation
or hysterectomies.
Yep, or hysterectomies. And they will be denied. Their doctors won't perform it. They won't recommend it to their insurance, etc. Because, you know,
and some doctors just flat won't do it.
Yeah.
Like, independent of whether the patient has insurance, whatever they're willing to pay, they're like, no, I will not do this.
And so before I did like some reading into it, I'm like, so what, like, I'm like, how is it that we're just out here and people are just saying, no, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
So I did a little bit of research, and while like, so don't get me wrong, it, like, regardless, if someone wants this procedure done, it's their right to have it done. So it's like a doctor shouldn't be making that decision for them.
That's part of body.
However,
autonomy.
I did realize that there are some relatively valid reasons why doctors advise against it.
Yes.
The first being, so tubal ligations are statistically less successful when they're performed on younger women.
And we should probably talk about what a tubal ligation is, like what that means.
Yes, please.
So that's a surgeon, a medical professional, getting rid of your fallopian tubes, more or less, whether that means cutting them or burning them or tying them, whatever that means.
Yeah, this is a non-reversible, unlike the vasectomy.
Yeah, vasectomies can be reversed.
Yes, they certainly can.
Tubal ligations cannot. Like, you're doing some serious fuckery there.
You're severing the tines.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Vasectomies are nice because, they can be reversed. And that is the cutting of the tubing, for lack of a better word, that brings the sperm from the testicles up and out and into the world.
Yeah, so
we can put back together.
Yeah,
those
exactly.
Two, so we just can't.
So yeah. Tubal ligations are, you know, they're less successful just generally. Just like according to like various research that you know they had compiled, that just sometimes when you're younger, there's just more of a chance that it's not gonna like.
They're not completely severed. They can't together.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So the second thing though is, apparently, 20% of women under the age of 30 are likely to regret the tubal ligation procedure, which 20% doesn't sound like a lot because, again, like,
that's
I'm so bad at, like, crunching numbers.
That's 1 in 5. That's
and
huge.
It's, like, really high when you compare that to the regret rate for women who've had an abortion, which is less than 1%.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
People talk about, quite often, I think, aren't you afraid to have an abortion because you're going to regret it? Like, what if you change your mind afterwards? It's too late.
Yeah, right. And it's like, there's always more opportunities. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
No, that is, I did think that was interesting. I'm like, okay, so it's like, if the truth is that when you're young, there's a high chance of like your tissue growing back together and the surgery not even being successful, that I understand. Like, that they need to tell people.
Sure.
You know what I mean? The reason can't be, well, you're young and
you might
regret it.
Mind.
And you know what I mean? It's like, no, you know, it's like just nobody else should be making those decisions for anybody else's is all I'm saying.
Absolutely.
And let alone without like, you know, months or years of counseling and things like that, which are sometimes required for those processes as well. If you guys didn't know,
I've had more
like
than
for
one,
the insurance to cover it. They'll want you to go through counseling
to make sure that, And I think it's interesting because I do have quite a few young women who come in and they're like, I want my tubes tied. I want this to be done. I don't want to have to worry about this anymore.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I wish that I could help you. I wish that was something that like our affiliate offered. I wish that was something that more doctors would do for you.
Mm-hmm.
But it's literally, it's the same arguments that they're making to women now are the same ones that they were making when my mom was like growing up and living her life and stuff. Like she never really wanted to have kids. She was on the pill. She got pregnant with my brother. She was switched pills, got pregnant with me. She asked for a tubal after she had my brother. And the doctors were like, well, what if your husband wants you to have more kids? What if you guys change your mind?
Fuck what he thinks.
She looked his doctor in the face and said, well, then let him carry him. And I was like, good for you, mom. Hell yeah, bitch. We love it.
Yes.
But yeah, it's women should be allowed to make their own decisions about their own health care. Everyone should be allowed to make decisions about their own health care.
Absolutely. And so, like, you know, so segueing into abortion from there.
Speaking of your right to choose.
Yeah, let's talk about abortion. So it wasn't too long ago at all that Planned Parenthood was all up in the news and with Trump. Yeah. And what did you call that? The gag?
The gag rule. Okay. Yeah. So what that was, there is a federal program that Planned Parenthood has participated in for years. It's open to anybody, any clinic, any providers who offer family planning services for the most part. Family planning services being stuff like STD testing, birth control. The Trump administration set a rule in place saying, okay, if you're going to be receiving this money for doing family planning services, you're not allowed to talk about abortion as a valid option for people. Like, that can't even be something that you guys discuss.
Right.
And if you are a clinic who does abortions, who recommend that, or not even recommend, but like make that available to people, refer people out, let people know where to go, even if you're talking about it, you are not allowed to receive Title X funds anymore.
Oh, okay.
Like, if that's something you do, you're not going to receive Title X.
Wow.
Planned Parenthood decided, you know what? If that's how it's going to be, then fuck it. We're just not going to take Title X anymore, because at the end
of
the day.
And this is why donations are important.
This is why donations are so important, not to, like, be that person, but if you're able to leave $5 behind at the end of your fucking appointment, like, that could pay for somebody else's birth control.
Literally.
Who can't afford it. Like, our Title X funds are how we keep our sliding fee scale available for people who don't have insurance. Yes. And it doesn't, not if that money goes to abortions anyway, which is where this whole argument even came from, was we're not going to give money to places who.
Because Planned Parenthood doesn't do abortions. Like, you guys don't, you guys have people, like, you
we
guys
do abortions.
Oh, you do abortions.
Yeah,
okay.
We sure do.
Okay, I didn't know if you guys did them at the clinics. Okay.
Different clinics offer different
services. That must be what it is. Because I used to live in Traverse City, and they didn't do that there.
I think they do now.
Okay, do they? Okay,
we've expanded
this was like 5 years ago.
Yeah, we've expanded a lot.
Okay, that's my bad. I was under the impression that you guys didn't, like, do it in the office because of this or something like that. Okay,
so different health centers offer different services. So, like, the Grand Rapids Clinic, we don't do surgical abortions, but we do medication abortions.
Okay.
Kalamazoo, Ann Arbor East, and I think Flint do surgical abortions as well.
Okay.
Which are totally different processes. And we still get protesters who think that, like, we're doing surgical stuff. And it's like, please just leave me alone. I want to go to work in peace.
So can we talk about the differences between
those?
Can we talk about, like, so what happens when someone gets an abortion?
Yeah. Do you want to talk about medication abortions first or surgical abortions first?
That's up to you.
Whichever. Okay. So it depends on how you decide that is the right way for you to have an abortion. So medication abortions at this point are effective up into 11 weeks of pregnancy. So we use ultrasounds to determine how far along is this person. If you're more than 11 weeks along, you're not a candidate for a medication abortion. A medication abortion is made up of two different medications. There is the first medication, mifepristone. That's the one that ends the pregnancy. It tells your body, quit making the kinds of hormones that let this pregnancy continue. The second medication is called misoprostol, or some people say misoprostol. I've heard it just called miso. Those are the pills that start your cramping and bleeding. So what you do is there's a pill that you take in the clinic with us. There's medications that we send you home with, and we go over how to take the medications and what to do to make them the most effective that they can be. And then the follow-up process there is either we draw your blood the day of your appointment and then a week later to make sure the levels of pregnancy hormone in your body are dropping appropriately, or we send you home with a pregnancy test. We tell you to take it in 4 weeks, any sooner, and you can still have a false positive. Because pregnancy hormones are stubborn, and they don't always want to leave bodies.
Yeah.
So don't take it any sooner than 4 weeks is what we tell people. And that's, I mean, really, that's it.
Okay.
It's for all intents and purposes. I've heard it described as a medically induced miscarriage.
Okay. I've heard of that too.
There's not a way that your doctor is going to be able to run blood work and know that you had an abortion.
Mm-hmm.
If they are somebody that you don't feel safe telling that you had an abortion, whatever that looks like for you,
mm-hmm.
that's totally fine. You
yeah.
can tell them you had a miscarriage if they really want to mm-hmm. get up at your ass about it,
yeah.
you know, like telling you had a miscarriage.
Mm-hmm.
It is important, though, to let somebody know, like if you're going in after you've had an abortion, you know they're going to be running a pregnancy test on you. It's important that you let them know that might come back positive if
mm-hmm.
it's been less than the appropriate amount of time.
Because
mm-hmm. Otherwise you'll get people like me who panic and we're like, oh, fuck, you're pregnant. I can't give you birth control today. And they're like, no, sorry, I just had an abortion. They told me I didn't have to tell anybody. Like, well, I mean, you don't, but.
Right. So.
But it's helpful.
So then surgical.
Surgical abortions. There are different standards, and I think this is where it also gets a little more controversial. There's different standards and how the procedure itself actually works, how that process is,
mm-hmm.
Depending on how far along you are. So the basic process is the doctor would insert dilating rods into your cervix, which is crampy and not fun. They then insert a machine called, it's a big suction machine basically.
Okay.
And it's got something on the end called a cannula. So what that does is it's like the end of a hose. It goes into your body, and she's going to suction out the they're called products of conception.
Okay.
Fetal tissue, whatever you
okay.
feel like you want to call it.
I see.
Uh-huh. And that gets sucked out of the body, and really that's it. I mean, depending on how comfortable you are, like, there's different levels of sedation that you can opt for, whether you want to just be, like, a little bit there or not there at all.
Okay. That's good to know.
Mm-hmm.
That's good to know then.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think what else. And you have to be, that's if you're at least 12 weeks.
You can be less. The process is a little different if you're less than 12 weeks along or 11
okay.
weeks along.
Okay.
The less far along you are, you're more eligible for something called a manual vacuum aspiration, which is a grosser looking machine, I think, because it's
mm-hmm.
like a handheld thing instead of being like a machine.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, the doctor does more or less the same thing, dilates your cervix and then sucks the tissue out.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So we've talked about what happens when you get an abortion. Like, we should talk about like self-care after an
yeah,
abortion.
Absolutely.
You
take
know,
care of yourself.
I'm sure that therapy is probably, I always suggest therapy to everybody for everything.
Yeah.
But it's like abortion, definitely a good reason to just maybe even just like a counselor
just
or
check
just
in.
Like,
yeah,
yeah, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Just somebody who can like actually guide you and help you figure out, you know, how to process
mm-hmm.
these emotions
yeah.
and how to go forward.
And for some people, there's not a lot of emotions afterward. And I think that that's valid too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think that a lot of folks who come in for abortions think, oh, like, I feel bad because I don't feel bad.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like I'm supposed to be having all
mm-hmm.
of these feelings and I just don't.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's okay too, dude.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever you feel is what you feel.
Mm-hmm.
But it's important to respect and honor that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, literally. So we talked about, so in Michigan,
mm-hmm.
we talked about, you said Kalamazoo. Where else can people get these procedures performed?
If you're looking specifically at Planned Parenthoods in Michigan,
okay.
Ann Arbor, Kalamazoo, and I think Flint.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then for surgical abortions,
mm-hmm.
what kind of places do people go to? Is it like a hospital? Is it?
No, most hospitals don't do
that's
surgical
what. So
abortions.
That's what I thought. So
yeah.
it's like, what kind of like medical
yeah.
office are people going to?
I can't speak for a lot of other cities, but I know there is another clinic in Grand Rapids that does surgical abortions because we don't.
What, do they do other stuff too?
They are specifically an abortion clinic.
Mm.
So like at my office, my clinic, I guess, in Grand Rapids, we do birth control. We do cancer screenings. We do STD testing.
Mm-hmm.
We do medication abortions. Like
mm-hmm.
we do a ton of shit.
Mm-hmm.
But the Heritage Clinic only does abortions. I think that they offer birth control as well, but it's not some place that I could be wrong on this. Somebody call me out, please, if I'm wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I'm under the impression that they only offer birth control after you've had an abortion. And like, once that prescription is run out, you need to go see your primary care doctor
okay.
or whoever you normally go see for
okay.
birth control.
I see.
Yeah.
Understood.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you know what we didn't talk about is other kinds of contraception. like plan B. We didn't go over.
Yeah, emergency contraception.
Yes.
Yeah. A lot of folks think that that's the same thing as the abortion pill, and it's not.
Oh my God, no.
No. Yeah, dude, I have girls come in all the time. People ask me that a lot. Not true at all. Emergency contraception is more or less like taking a big dose of birth control all at once, and that's not going to induce an abortion. It's going to mess with your periods. It's going to make your bleeding kind of funky. That's just something you should expect. And you should also always, always, always take a pregnancy test probably 2-3 weeks out from taking Plan B just to make sure that it worked.
Yeah.
That's important.
Yeah.
I think people forget that sometimes.
Yeah. Yep. And does insurance cover Plan B?
Depends on the kind of Plan B. So some insurance companies will cover like the brand name Plan B or like the generic forms of Plan B itself. That one's the one that's good for 3 days. It's less effective if you're over 200 pounds. The other medication that is available as emergency contraception that we have that you need a prescription for and you can't just get like over the counter is called Ella. Okay. I'm sure there's other names for
I've heard of that. Yeah.
Ella is effective for 5 days after unprotected sex, and it's, I think it's okay to use if you're over 200 pounds. It's more effective for folks like that are a little bit bigger.
So hypothetically, if you know that your insurance will cover Plan B, can you go to Meijer, grab the Plan B, and be
submit
like, here's my, and oh, you just, you would submit the receipt to your insurance, and they'd reimburse you.
They should.
I see.
I mean, worst thing they're going to tell you is no.
Well, I didn't know if you could just hand them your insurance card and
ooh, maybe.
And be like, hey, my insurance covers
maybe.
This. Can you
I don't know.
Bring me out?
And... Ooh. And if not, then yeah, submit the receipt for reimbursement.
Okay.
It's worth a shot.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I just thought about that.
There are also...
Because Meijer sells it and they're a pharmacy. So I'm just like, so that's why I'm thinking of that in specific.
There's also like off-brand Plan B that I feel like people don't trust as much. It's the same fucking
medication. No, it's the same. Yeah, it's the same thing. It's like, literally the same stuff, the same amount of milligrams.
Yeah. Yep. It sure is.
I just had to go. I just had to buy some for my friend a couple weeks ago. I'm like, you're either going to spend like $55 or $35.
Or even
and it's
then,
the same shit.
So, pro tip, go to the fucking dollar store and get your Plan B. You might have to go up to the counter and ask for it. The Dollar General down the street from Planned Parenthood sells it for, it's like $15.
Shut the fuck
I'm dead fucking serious.
Up.
I tell girls who come in to us to buy Plan B for $35.
Life hack.
There's your life hack. Yeah, it's $35 over the counter at Planned Parenthood. But if you like, if you can't afford it, like I have women all the time. We serve low income folks too.
Yeah.
You know, if you can't afford the $35 to buy Plan B, you probably can't afford to have a kid and you probably can't afford an abortion. So here's a little life hack. Go to the dollar store. It's like $15.
Hell yeah. Wow, I had no idea. So I think when people think about safe sex, a lot of times that, you know, they think about like birth control and condoms and stuff like that. But I think that sometimes we forget like pregnancy isn't the only life altering thing that can come out of your sexual decisions.
Sure.
Like STIs, STDs are absolutely a thing. And you were telling me earlier, we were talking about, so I think that the language that we use to discuss these things really matters.
Yeah.
And if you say that STIs are the primary way that you guys say that now, then
that's,
you know,
what,
then that's what we'll say going forward. But
for the time that I've worked at Planned Parenthood, that's been what we've called them.
So to distinguish, an STI is a sexually transmitted infection.
Mm-hmm.
STI is sexually transmitted disease.
STDs.
STDs, I'm sorry. What a day already. So STDs, sexually transmitted diseases. So we know that like all STDs are STIs, but not all STIs are STDs because not everything is a disease that's going to stick with you.
Not everything is a disease. Most things are just infections.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So for that reason, we've started straying away, like Planned Parenthood and like, you know, in like the sexual education community, they've started straying away from using STD.
Yes.
And started.
But I think that that's how most people who don't do this kind of work, I think most people know them as STDs.
Right.
So usually when I talk to patients, I just call them STDs because I don't want to have to sit and explain what an STI is.
Right. Yeah. No, that's
it's
fair.
It's the same thing.
So what do you see most often?
Chlamydia.
Chlamydia,
gonorrhea.
Mm-hmm.
Super easy to get rid of.
Uh-huh.
I think a lot of folks, there is such a stigma.
I was going to say, there's
such
a stigma
about like, oh my God, God, did you hear that they had gonorrhea once? Like, so fucking what? Who hasn't? Grow up. It's a shot in your butt and a quick couple pills. You'll be all right.
Probably. Yeah.
We are seeing a lot more, like, not my clinic personally, but in healthcare, we're seeing a lot more of the antibiotic resistant gonorrhea.
And why does it happen?
Why does antibiotic resistance happen?
No, why do these infections occur? Like, what? Like,
So what's weird about gonorrhea and chlamydia is people oftentimes don't have symptoms. So that's why it's so important to get routine testing. If you don't know you have
get
it.
Get tested.
If you don't know just you have tested. It, just fucking get tested. It's everybody, for the most part, has sex. Like, just, it's not embarrassing. It's part of keeping your body healthy.
No, and it's
and
like,
your partners.
Yeah, and not to mention, it's like, there's literally nothing wrong with having multiple sexual partners.
Yeah.
There's no judgment.
And if you feel like your doctor is going to judge you, come into Planned Parenthood.
Yeah, or just go to, like, the freaking health department or something. But it's like, for the love, it's like, go and get tested. It's like,
it's so quick.
It's totally okay that you have sex with multiple different people, but it's like,
even if you
for your own health.
Yeah, even if you only have one sexual partner. Mm-hmm. Like, I've seen it. Mm-hmm. I've seen it. Folks who, this is the only person I've ever slept with, and they told me that I'm the only person they've ever slept with, and
Talk is cheap. Go get tested.
Talk is cheap. Talk is fucking cheap. And even if you trust them, like, I've been in a committed relationship with my partner for 12 years almost, and I still get tested.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing wrong with getting tested. It doesn't fucking hurt.
Not at all.
It is what it
is. And if it's something that makes your partner insecure, like, why would you get tested? Red flag.
Huge red flag.
Boop. Red flag.
Yeah, I think that's a big red flag.
Yeah, huge freaking red flag. So,
gonorrhea, chlamydia, super common. You might not have symptoms. If you don't know you have it, you don't know that you're giving it to other people.
So then what are the symptoms when they come along?
You can have itching. You can have discharge. You can have, like, a weird smell.
Mm-hmm.
But that can also be symptoms of other things.
Mm-hmm.
Your periods might be weird with stuff like gonorrhea and chlamydia. Mm-hmm. If that's something that, like, oh, my periods have always been normal, but I've had a new sexual partner and suddenly my periods are fucking weird, maybe go get tested. I'm not saying that's what it is definitively, but it's worth a check out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What are, like, the differences between chlamydia and gonorrhea?
They're a different kind of bacteria.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So they just, like, react to different parts of your body differently?
Because they're different bacteria, they behave differently. They can give you the same kinds of symptoms, but they can also be a little bit different. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And if stuff like this goes untreated, though, that's where
the problems come in. Yeah. You're risking things like pelvic inflammatory disease. You're risking infertility.
Mm-hmm.
It sucks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It fucking sucks. And it's a super quick dose of antibiotics for most people. To get treated for either one of these, or things like trichomoniasis.
Mm-hmm. And BV.
And BV.
Bacterial vaginosis.
Bacterial vaginosis.
So
that one's not sexually transmitted, though.
Right.
Which I think lots of folks don't know. They're like, oh, my boyfriend
While we're on infections. Like, and just, like, vaginal health.
Yeah.
Because it's, like, the way that I describe it, I'm, like, having a vagina is having, like, a pet frog or something. It's like a moist habitat that has to be the right temperature, the right humidity, the right pH.
She's,
like,
the world's worst exotic pet.
Literally. And so it's just, like, it is. It can be hard to maintain. And some people don't realize, like, your shampoo that's on your head, it's running down your body to your vagina. Mm-hmm. And, it's thrown off your pH. And
now you've got a bad yeast infection.
Exactly.
Now you've got BV.
You know what I mean? Exactly.
Yeah.
So it's, like, if you guys ever notice, it's because it's like, here's the thing, your vagina, even though it doesn't taste like roses and candy and
nor
like
should
that,
she
no
do
exactly
not. Oh god,
but it also shouldn't taste like super noticeably or smell super noticeably bad.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
There should, like, definitely be, like, a smell there.
Yeah,
that's normal. That's okay.
But it should be something just similar along the lines to just, like, sweat. It shouldn't be something that fucking knocks you on your ass.
Vaginas smell like vagina. They shouldn't smell anything funky. And, like, there's nothing wrong with paying attention to, oh, I think my vagina smells a little weird.
Yeah.
And I'm going to go get that checked out.
Yes.
Oh, my discharge is a little different from what I'm used to. I should go get that checked out.
Something that helps me is the boric acid supplements. Mm-hmm. So there are these boric acid suppositories, and you just insert them.
Pop them right in your
vag. In your vagina. Yeah. And they eventually dissolve. Mm-hmm. And they're just something that help really maintain your pH. And I'm someone who my pH is thrown off really easily by things that might, like any body washes, by semen. You know, it can be really easily thrown off. And sometimes if you live in the city and you don't have very well-filtered water, it's like the chemicals that are in your water, you know?
Yeah.
Like literally,
wearing thongs too often, tight-fitting clothes too often.
Too much spandex, not enough air. Oh my God,
air. You have to let your coochies air out, folks. Please, let them free. Let them be free.
Oh my God.
Yeah, anything can throw off your pH.
So, going back to STIs, we were talking about, you know, the more curable, you know, the ones that we can get rid of.
Gonorrhea, chlamydia, trich. You can treat herpes, but not cure it.
Mm-hmm.
You can treat HIV, but not cure it.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the big ones. Syphilis, definitely treatable.
Okay. Didn't used to be.
Used to be a huge deal.
Didn't.
Quick fucking shot of penicillin, boom, you're out the door.
Yeah.
You are definitely going to have to be monitored and stuff because untreated syphilis can cause brain damage and all kinds of wild, crazy shit. But, and that is one that we do not treat. We refer you out to the health department for.
Got you.
Yes.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, there is so much stigma against herpes.
Oh, my God.
And HPV.
Bro.
That's another big one. It's like, first of all, so many people get HPV.
That's the thing. Almost every single human being has HPV. Like, this counter, this table has more than likely has human papillomavirus on it.
Yeah.
It's not a huge deal.
No.
The issue is, this is why it's so important to come in for your pap smears.
Yes.
This is why it's so important to discuss with your partners, hey, here's what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Because HPV, like it can cause stuff like genital warts, and those are treatable, not always a huge deal.
Mm-hmm.
Like, can be very quick, easy to get rid of.
Mm-hmm.
But it can also cause, like, certain strains can cause stuff like cervical cancer, rectal cancer, throat cancer, all kinds of wild, crazy shit that you just don't need in your life.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
And I think that there's also, like, a lot of stigma as far as, like, people think that, like, when they think of herpes, if you're uneducated and you don't know anything about herpes, you might think that, like,
oh my God, my life is over.
Well, and you also might think that, like, oh, if someone has herpes, their vagina's, like, gross and disgusting.
Yeah.
Like, okay, so first of all, you can't even really spread herpes unless you have an outbreak. So as long as you're paying attention to... like, if you have sores, if you have anything that seems like it's not just, like, fully healed, normal skin, you know, that's when you're going to want to avoid sexual contact.
Of any kind. This is a skin-to-skin spread thing.
There are preventative medications that...
There are... I wouldn't say preventative. So there's medications that you can take for... when you're having an outbreak, there are medications that you can take once you have been diagnosed with herpes that will keep your outbreaks in check.
Yeah, that's what I meant. So that's like a
suppressive
daily,
therapy.
That's like a daily medication, right? Yes. Okay.
Or, yeah, usually.
So so I think that that's one thing I wanted to eradicate is that, you know, if you have herpes, you automatically have ugly genitals or disgusting genitals.
Genitals are weird to look at anyway, babe.
But
nobody
it's like,
fucking cares.
But it's like, seriously, it's like, unless you've got an active breakout, it's like their vagina is no different than anybody else's.
Just
so it's like,
vagina.
Yeah. And it's like, as long as you guys are both being careful, like.
And honest, I think that's another big thing with herpes that nobody really wants to talk about is like, how am I supposed to tell my partner that I have this? Or like, how do I tell future partners? Use your fucking words like a grown up.
Yeah.
I think that that's such a big,
and because it's like, and it's hard because you're like, I don't want to face rejection. It's like, but you have to understand, like, if they're just not willing to hear you out and they think that you're not worth your time because you have herpes, then they're not worth your time. You know what I mean? Like, it does suck. Like, rejection is hard. And that's not to say that, like, dealing with the diet, like, I don't have it. I don't know what it's like to be diagnosed with herpes. Like, I don't know what it's like to have to deal with that. So it's not to minimize anybody's experience. However, you guys can live perfectly normal lives.
Normal, happy, healthy sex lives.
Beautiful relationships.
Yes.
You know what
I mean? Absolutely.
So just wanted to, like, really make that very clear.
Mm-hmm.
And the same is true for HIV.
Absolutely.
However, I know a lot less about HIV.
I don't know a ton. I know that we do HIV testing. Mm-hmm. We offer PrEP, which is pre-exposure prophylaxis, and we offer PEP, which is post-exposure prophylaxis. So, like, if something happens and you're like, oh, fuck, like, I think this person might have HIV, they might be an injectable drug user, whatever the case may be,
okay.
And you're like, there's been a kind of a shady sexual encounter that I've had, or whether you're like not sure about your partner's status.
Yeah.
PrEP's a good idea.
Yeah.
PrEP's a good idea if you are somebody who is in one of those higher risk categories, I guess. And I say higher risk in quotation marks because I feel like that's
yeah
a little bit provocative of a thing to say. But
it's just like, we're also coming into an era where I think that polyamorous relationships are being more normalized.
Absolutely.
Which I think is great. Like, I'm here for the free loving thing.
Yeah.
But it's just the fact of the matter is that you can spread infection.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You can get sick.
Of any kind.
Exactly. Yeah, literally.
Yeah.
It's not even.
It's, yeah.
So it's like, these are just ways that you can, like, really make sure that you're taking your sexual health and wellness seriously,
mm-hmm.
you know, because
your
genitals and
partners,
your reproductive system are
right?
as important as any other part of your body
yeah.
to continually, you
absolutely.
Know.
And it feels like a respectful thing to do for your partner too. It's like, okay, I get tested regularly,
yep.
which to me says,
okay, agree.
You are paying attention to your health. You care about your health.
Mm-hmm.
You care about my health
mm-hmm.
because I trust you, but you're acknowledging, hey, I don't know where you are every
mm-hmm.
fucking hour of the day.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever that looks like,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think that's important, too.
I think it is, too. You know, getting tested, and it's like, and that's another thing, too. Like, if you're like, I am interested in having sex with you after we both get tested, you know, that's another boundary you
yeah.
are totally allowed to have. And it's like, if they're not willing to get tested,
fuck them.
Then...
But not really.
But yeah, but don't actually fuck them.
Fuck them,
but don't fuck them.
Fuck them, but don't fuck them.
Cause, you know, it's interesting because I think that a lot of people who just have never had to deal with an STD,
mm-hmm.
maybe they've never had to deal with a lot of sexual partners. I think it's just really easy to fall into a category where you judge people who
mm-hmm.
are sexually active,
yeah.
do have a lot of sexual partners. And it's
absolutely.
Just like, you know, it doesn't make you a dirty person. It doesn't
no.
make you a less valuable person.
No.
It doesn't, you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
It's
you're
like,
allowed to have as many sexual partners as you fucking want. And if
mm-hmm.
someone makes you feel bad about that, then
yep.
they're not worth your time.
And it's just like, the fact of the matter is that if you do enjoy having multiple sexual partners, having, you know, a lot of sex with your one monogamous partner,
yeah.
there are things that you can do to keep both of you safe and healthy.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is like, aside from condoms, there's not really a whole hell of a lot out there to protect you
no.
from, you know, STDs. It's like there's literally condoms and communication.
Condoms, communication, PrEP.
And that's, you know
yeah.
what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like all you can do is be honest with one another, be honest with yourself.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, for
fuck's
sake.
Don't let yourself judge yourself.
Yeah,
either.
Exactly.
I mean, yeah.
No, it totally happens.
It's okay I mean, people come in a lot and they're like, I don't really want to say how many partners I have.
Yeah.
Like, that's fine. Like, I'm not asking to be nosy or like
yeah.
to be judgmental. Like, if you think I'm here to judge,
mm-hmm.
I would not fucking be working at Planned Parenthood.
Yeah, no
you know what
no
I mean?
Kidding.
Like, come on.
No kidding.
Yeah, just be honest with yourself. Be honest with your healthcare providers. We're not
mm-hmm.
we're not here to judge. I don't fucking care how
yeah.
many people you've had sex with in the past year. I just want to help you figure out what testing is going to be best for you.
And it's just like, for the sake of your own mental health and wellness,
mm-hmm.
it's like, while I completely believe that, you know, it's a wonderful thing that people can get abortions easily,
yeah.
accessibly, that doesn't mean that it's an easy choice.
No.
That it's a
yeah.
choice that, you know, some people, like you said, some people, like, they feel bad because they don't feel bad.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean that some people don't leave there feeling
oh,
guilty.
Absolutely.
And they, you know, they feel...
There's so
they're like,
much
what
abortion
you know,
stigma.
Or like they don't spend later years thinking like, what would it be like?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
That
doesn't,
happens.
You know,
mm-hmm.
just because there is some like feelings of like, I wonder, you know,
yeah.
doesn't mean that your life is going to be ruined by your decision
yeah.
to
it
get an abortion. And...
You're allowed to mourn this loss
yeah.
if that's what you feel like is going to be valuable for you. Because at the end of the day, this is a hard decision.
It is a really hard decision.
And it's okay to be feeling whatever you're feeling.
And for that reason, it's like, if you want to be sexually active, but you know that you're not ready for a child, then please use protection. Just please use some kind, just anything, you know? Birth control is so easily accessible. Condoms are so easily accessible.
They're free at Planned Parenthood. Exactly. Stop at the front counter. You know what I mean? Can I have a bag of condoms?
And I have a lot of people who are like, I'm allergic to latex. I don't like how condoms feel. But, you know, and it's like, okay, well, there's definitely condoms that aren't made from latex. But there's, I mean, you guys, there are so many different kinds of condoms out there.
Try a few out.
You know, just try some out. It's like, there are condoms that, like, they're really light skin or, like, you know, really
thin.
Skin-like. Yeah, there yeah. They're really skin-like and very light, and you can't hardly feel them. And then there are ones that are intentionally, they're ribbed or they have grooves on them so that you can feel them, you know? And it's like, you might end up liking those if you've never tried them. Mm-hmm. So don't say, well, I don't like condoms because you tried them a couple of times and they fell off or something like that. Like that does suck that condoms fall off, but that's another reason, honestly, sometimes to like be more aware of the brands that you're buying. Absolutely. And invest in condoms that are like, you know, reliable.
Yeah.
'Cause then again, it's like, you're just like the preventative actions that you take now are saving you obviously from
a ton of stuff.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Just like literally so much stuff. And it's not to say that you can't handle it and that there's anything wrong with going through it.
No.
But the fact of the matter is that like there are ways that you don't have to go through that.
Yeah.
Like there are things that you can do. You can take different paths, you know? So let me see what else. I don't know if I have a whole hell of a lot else on here. Do you feel like there's anything we haven't covered?
Let's see, we talked about birth control, abortions, STDs, vag infections. We talked about vag health.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think that's it.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about pap smears. Mm-hmm. Go get your pap smears done.
Mm-hmm.
Breast exams, all that jazz.
Yes.
Yeah. Do the things. Take care of your bodies. Use your words with your partners.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just like, you know, I thought it would be a good idea to just come and do an episode that was like really in depth about birth control and all of the things. And honestly, I've been going to Planned Parenthood since I lived in Traverse City. So I've been going for like 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
And anytime you guys have ever done anything for me, I've never had to pay a dime.
Yeah.
Like you know what I mean? I've been so grateful for the help that Planned Parenthood. And it's like, you know, it's not unfair to say that if it weren't for the easily accessible birth control that I was able to get in my life would be really different right now.
Yeah.
You know what
Same.
I mean?
Uh-huh.
So, because I definitely do be having lots of sex.
Good for you, baby. I'd love to see it.
So, yeah. If there's nothing else that you think that we went over, then I would just...
Oh. Do you want to talk about the YWCA?
Yes, that's... I have it on my... Okay, yep, here it is. Okay. So, yeah, so we wanted to talk about there are other services that Planned Parenthood can offer or can refer you to if they can't offer it.
Absolutely.
So go ahead.
So if there's something that's, like, not within our scope of practice, right, if that's something that we don't normally do or if we know somebody who does it better than what we would do it, we'll fucking send you there. So let's say you come in with a breast lump, right? I was doing my self-breast exam. I found this bump. I don't know if this is normal. Can someone look at this for me? We'll tell you, hey, I think this is fine, or no, I think that maybe you need to go see somebody else because this might be more serious.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to sit there and pretend to be experts in something that we're not experts in.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to help you get the care that you need. And I think that's something that a lot of folks don't think about. They're like, oh, well, Planned Parenthood's not going to be able to get me into this or that or the other thing.
Mm-hmm.
We'll refer you out.
Yeah.
It's not a huge deal. If it's something that we don't know about, we send people to dermatologists. If we're like, well, it's not herpes. It's not syphilis. It's not genital warts. It's not X,
so
Y, and Z.
So let's figure out what it is.
It might be this. Go see this doctor. They would probably, they'll know. They'll know what this is. And that's not to say that we're not good at what we do. We're very good at what we do, I think.
You just know.
In my opinion.
You know your limits.
We know our limits. Girls that come in anybody really of any gender identity who comes in after they've been assaulted.
Yeah.
It happens so fucking often,
mm-hmm.
and it sucks. It really fucking sucks. We do testing. We do treatment. We do all of these things. We do offer, like, hey, if you tell me that you feel like you want to see a counselor, I've got a whole resource list for you, babe.
Mm-hmm.
Here are counselors from all over the state. Mm-hmm. Call around. See who's open. See who you can get into.
Mm-hmm.
Or, hey, I feel like I need help with this domestic violence situation I'm in right now. Cool. What can I do to help you? I've got this list of domestic violence shelters mm-hmm. and sexual assault resources for you. And one of those resources that we brag about a lot is our local YWCA. So one of the nurse practitioners at my clinic is a sexual assault nurse examiner with the YWCA as well, like when she's not working at Planned Parenthood.
Mm-hmm.
So she's the one who goes in and like does the rape kits and stuff for folks.
Mm-hmm.
And helps offer the testing, the prophylactic treatment, the whole, like the whole kit and caboodle.
Mm-hmm.
The YWCA offers stuff like advocacy. They can help you get a PPO if you feel like you need a protection order against this person.
Oh, wow.
They'll help you find a domestic violence shelter or whatever that looks like for mm-hmm. you. They are fucking amazing. They are the coolest fucking people.
Very comprehensive.
Very comprehensive. They offer therapy for like survivors of domestic violence and sexual assault. They're outstanding. They're the coolest people. So
that's awesome.
We are not the only good resource in the community.
Mm-hmm.
Not to like shit on Planned Parenthood, but call around, babe. See who's there.
It takes a village.
Sure does. Sure does.
And then also cancer screenings.
Cancer screenings, guys, pap smears.
Yeah.
Pap smears, breast exams, that whole, all of that.
It's all great. Stuff that's, it's all really important.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, we're definitely living in an era where everything we eat, everything we consume is just like, it's full of parabens and toxins mm-hmm. and
all
preservatives and just stuff that's not yeah. good for you and stuff that like your body doesn't always really very well react to. Mm-hmm. So it's like, even though, you know, and they also say to be like, you know, oh, you don't have to start checking your breasts and stuff until you're a certain age. It's like, fuck that.
Fuck
like,
that.
You know, just check your breasts.
Check your breasts.
Yeah.
Go in for and your fucking pap smears.
If you've got
check
nuts.
Your nuts. If you're a nut owner,
mm-hmm.
yeah, absolutely. Check them out.
Yeah. Feel them up.
Pap smears are one that I think a lot of folks misunderstand because they're like, I think I had that last time I was here. And I'm like, no, that was just a pelvic exam.
Yeah.
There's a big difference between, hey, I think there's something wrong with my vagina and I need you to look at it. I need you to do testing for me for STDs and like to see if I've got a yeast infection. And hey, I'm due for my every 3 year, every 5 year, whatever that case is for you, cancer screening.
Mm-hmm.
Totally different.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the same general process, mm-hmm. right? Like you hop up on the table, we pop a speculum in you. We take a sample of tissues from your cervix. We send it out to the lab and they look for HPV. And mm-hmm. the harmful forms of HPV.
Right.
When you are, they start at 21. If you're not 21, you don't fucking need a pap smear.
Mm-hmm.
Once you hit 21 and up until you're 30, you only need one every 3 years as long as they're coming back normal.
Oh, wow.
Which I think a lot of folks have a misunderstanding about.
Mm-hmm.
As long as they're coming back normal, don't come back for another 3 years. You're mm-hmm. good, babe.
Mm-hmm.
Enjoy your life. Don't mm-hmm. worry. Cervical cancer is one of the one of the cancers that's so slow moving.
Mm-hmm.
Like if we don't see it this time, we feel reasonably like we feel comfortable that we don't need to see it for another
sure.
3 years, right? Like there's a reason that this is the medical standard.
Yeah.
Once you turn 30, they add an extra test to the pap smear, so it's called co-testing. So what that does is it looks at whether or not you have HPV, and if you do, what kinds of HPV you have. Is it the harmful kind, or is it the kind that's going to clear up within a year or so?
Yeah.
Right? If both of those tests come back normal and negative, you don't need a pap smear for 5 years after you turn 30.
Yeah, damn.
Which is awesome. Please don't panic.
Yeah.
It's going to be okay.
Yeah.
And if you do end up with an abnormal pap smear, make sure to follow up with that provider who helped mm-hmm. you or another provider who can get the records from your first provider.
Mm-hmm.
Because while, yeah, usually cervical cancer is one that's pretty slow growing and one that we catch because it's easy to screen for, it is important to go through those follow-up steps and make sure that like, well, my pap smear this year was abnormal. Is the HPV getting worse or is it going away or what's the,
right.
What's the deal there?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Awesome. Dang.
Yeah.
Yeah. That reminds me of like, it just like that last bit there reminds me of all the stuff that I get told every time
yes.
I'm on my own visit to Planned Parenthood.
Yes.
So yeah, if you guys have never been to a Planned Parenthood, if you guys have never gotten an STD check, if you, like, I highly recommend, you
we're
know,
cool. We're
yeah.
we're just normal people.
And, but that's the thing though. It's like a lot of times, you know, you could be somebody who's working the desk or somebody who's giving you your exam
mm-hmm.
could have gone through the same thing that
yeah.
you've gone through.
Absolutely.
Like
I was there, a patient at Planned Parenthood long before I was
there really employee. Are things that I'm not super comfortable expressing to my primary doctor that when I'm in Planned Parenthood, I'm like, what's up, bitches? Exactly. Yeah. You know what I mean?
And we're here for it.
Exactly. Like, literally, though.
We love your host stories. We're here for
yes.
it. Yeah.
And they're, and it's like, not only that, but they are trying to help you figure out, like, how can you keep hoeing the way that you want to and stay safe and prevent pregnancy and stay happy and healthy? Yes. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So that's why you got to get yourself tested. Yeah. You know what I mean? If you want to keep on hoeing, then keep on hoeing. You know, just take care of yourself, mm-hmm. you know?
Absolutely.
So, well, thank you again.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
I can't even express how much I appreciate
you. This was super fun.
So,
yeah.
Again, guys, this was Brittany. She works at Planned Parenthood. And
give us a call if you've got questions.
We appreciate it.
You know what to do.
Thank you.